We are joined now by a special guest, Dr. Zuhdi Jasser, the founder and president of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy, a first-generation American Muslim. His parents fled the Assad regime in Syria, so we're going to be talking about Syria as well as Egypt. And again, he has stood for the Constitution, liberty and freedom, and what he called the separation of mosque and state, and the idea that as Muslims and Christians, as Americans, we can work together. He's also a former U.S. Navy lieutenant commander and author of the book, which is a great one, folks, Battle for the Soul of Islam. That's battleforthesoulofislam.com. And Dr. Jasser, it's always great to have you.
Nice to be with you, Jordan. Thanks so much for having me with you.
Let me go first to Egypt. We now have the Obama administration, at least officials, CNN is reporting, basically putting two statements out, much stronger than has been out in the past 48 hours as these protests rage. First, that the Egyptian president, Mohamed Morsi from the Muslim Brotherhood, should call early elections. And second, that the Egyptian military will risk losing the U.S. aid, the $1.5 billion a year, if it carries out a military coup. So you've got those two statements. And on top of that, he has no constitutional power to call for new elections. But that this may be the one compromise that gets things settled down. What is your reaction first to what's happening in Egypt on the streets again?
Well, I think we can't take it out of context, and that the context was over 50 years of a secular dictatorship, which ended in Mubarak, was a military rule that the military sort of deftly handed off Mubarak when the people went to the streets. And in some ways allowed the ascension of the Brotherhood. And many of us have said, you know, the fact that they had elections so quick was a setup to allow the Brotherhood to win because they were the only ones organized politically. And now we're finding, as many of us said, that there would be a revolution 2.0, which is what we're seeing, because Islamism, while it had 30% or so plurality, was never a majority sense, but the opposition had never been unified. And sure enough, almost only 10 months of Mubarak's rule, now 1 year since his inauguration, actually to the date of June 30th, they've had it. They found their freedoms even worse than it was under Mubarak. Blasphemy rules, free speech limited. Their tourism has fallen. One governor in Luxor was placed who was a former Jamaat Islamiyah member. So they're seeing terrorists starting to run areas of Egypt, and they said they've had enough of it. But the question is this a military coup if the military steps in? You know, I agree with the fact that we shouldn't, if they switch back to military, the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces running the place, that is a step backwards because democracy has to have its maturational processes in place. But we also have to realize that the parliament isn't in place. There isn't a mechanism yet because the minorities were excluded. There wasn't a mechanism for them to have a constitutional replacement or call to early elections. So as a result, Morsi is just going to put his foot down. And I think there needs to be a process of revisiting what was really a flawed constitutional process, flawed political process, and revisiting how they can start to unify the opposition, the non-Islamists, in a new government. And I think this is where the military, if they would do it right, can start to let the people speak for Egypt rather than a choice between the Islamists who have failed or a military recurrence of their dictatorship.
Folks, we're talking to Dr. Zuhdi Jasser, author of A Battle for the Soul of Islam, and we're talking Egypt first. And I would say this, Dr. Jasser, as well. We have this issue where the State Department is now saying that these are demands that the protesters are making, the same demands the White House and the State Department have been trying to make on President Morsi since he came to office, getting a new prime minister, a new cabinet, getting rid of the prosecutor general, which was a holdover position from the Mubarak regime. Remember, he tried to install that new and around November. He tried to take away any constitutional oversight for his decision making from the courts. But there's also a problem in the courts because many of the judges and justices are holdovers from the Mubarak government. The parliament has been held to be illegal by the courts and not set up correctly. The Constitution, as you said, was rushed through. And we push democracy so quickly that the idea that civil society would have time to organize, not just in street protests, but in a formal political party setting, when they've never had that freedom. And then here we're at a point again, and Dr. Jasser, before we get to Syria, where the Muslim Brotherhood has again made it very difficult over this past year for groups like that to enjoy in the press and the political civil society to enjoy the freedom that they thought that they were getting through the revolution that, the United States supported initially.
You're exactly right, and it seems that the White House has simply been so far in the back of the bus and so asleep that it thinks that it should only do input when there's millions in the streets and otherwise not play a role. And this is where, if you look, our NGOs were put in jail. Our NGOs that really were going to train them in how to transition into not only democracies based in election, but democracies, as we know, is based in representing minorities, having checks and balances, separation of powers, all these kind of things, a military that truly responds to civilian government and is run by the civilian government. All these aspects need education and maturation and don't happen overnight. And unfortunately, there was one leader of an NGO, an American NGO, who stayed there and said, you know, I want to go to trial. And don't evacuate. I mean, he went to trial and was convicted to 2 years in jail, and the Obama administration said nothing. So what's happening is our absence and us not taking sides against the Islamists has basically, this is why there's, in these demonstrations, there's posters that say that Obama supports terrorism. Well, we're not playing a role, and thus the population is stuck between two extremes of Islamism, which is in their DNA to fail, because the Islamists want Sharia. They don't want democracy. They don't believe in reason and legal representation of all people in government. They think that rights come from Islam and not from God or from each individual. So as a result, it's doomed to fail. The people are saying it's failing, and yet we're not telling them that, you know, they need to start establishing a government based in liberty. You're not hearing those words from President Obama or our ambassador in Egypt, Patterson. So as a result, they're going to continue to fail. Most revolutions, as you know, in Europe and even our own, can take quite a number of years before you solidify the right processes in place for a successful democracy. And you're not seeing any of that leadership from the West. And as a result, if we don't put pressure on both, the Morsi regime to start to balance itself into transitioning into a republic or a democracy, and pressure on the military to not transition into another coup, which would really destroy the work of the millions in the streets, we're going to see them continue to vacillate between two failures versus a successful maturation into democracy.
I think you're absolutely right, Dr. Jasser. We're talking to Zuhdi Jasser, the author of the book, A Battle for the Soul of Islam, also the founder and president of American Islamic Forum for Democracy. The idea there, the military is very smart, conniving in a way. They are now saluting the protesters. They were part of the Mubarak government. Then they handed Mubarak over. They get a lot of U.S. support, $1.5 billion a year. At the same time, they also operate businesses. It's a very separate entity. I do want to switch to Syria, though, while we have you. You're a Syrian-American. Your family fled the Assad government, coming to the United States. There's been a lot of confusion in the United States and a lot of debate over what the America's role should be with the rise and what we're being told of the al-Nusra Front, now Al-Qaeda, as part of the rebel forces. I know you've supported more direct support for the rebels. And I want you to talk to our folks, we got a couple minutes left here right now, about their concerns and also what the U.S. still has time to do, if anything, you think that can be effective.
Well, as in any society that's been run by dictatorship for generations, you end up breeding a lot of corruption. But there's no doubt that the font, the source of most evil in Syria, is coming from the Assad regime. They've fostered and fueled radical groups like Al-Qaeda and the Brotherhood in order to use it to legitimize their authoritarian rule and calling anyone that's against them a terrorist. Remember when we were in Iraq, Al-Qaeda used Syria as a platform in which to launch operations against our groups. But yet when we were in Iraq, we knew that while there was Al-Qaeda there, the majority of the Iraqi population was not Al-Qaeda. They wanted democracy to evolve out of a Saddam Hussein regime. And I think similarly in Syria, our families, the majority of them, the millions that were rising in this revolution, are not Al-Qaeda or militants.
Again, we're talking to Dr. Zuhdi Jasser. He's the author of The Battle for the Soul of Islam. It's battleforthesoulofislam.com. And Dr. Jasser, I wanted to give you that opportunity. And again, we'll just address it for everybody listening now. A kind of final question for you. The idea, there is a debate raging. Should we get involved in Syria? To what extent? and how and will we end up supporting an Al-Qaeda takeover through the Al-Nusra Front, the radicals who have we've seen come in all of these situations to try to take advantage of the fighting. But we also have Hezbollah on the other side. And I think from your unique perspective as a Syrian-American family who fled this dictatorship that is now being fought primarily in the beginning, of course, and still to this day, by those who just want to see the Assad regime overthrown, but the Islamists seize on both sides, actually, and you see more of the geopolitical situation shaping up. And I think the Iran element also plays a serious part. This dictatorship falling would be a huge loss for the Iranian regime. So, Dr. Jasser, again, I know you've been out front and outspoken early on in this that we should be doing more, and I wanted to give you that opportunity to talk to folks about why and what we should be doing.
Thank you, Jordan, so much for keeping me on this, because I can't tell you enough that the decades that my family fought against, and so many of them are still there, you cannot defeat radical Islam, the Islamist movements, without defeating the Assad, the Saudi monarchs, the Egyptian dictators, the Saddam Hussein. These are two heads of the same snake. They create one another. The Saudi family creates the Wahhabis in order to legitimize authoritarian rule. The Assads have a relationship with Hezbollah, with Hamas, who was headquartered there until the revolution started for 15 years. This is a two heads of the same hydra that continue to utilize one another in order to legitimize authoritarian rule. And as the people finally come up to revolt, history is at a tipping point. We can be on the right side of history towards democracy and continue to allow them to begin to mature into a democracy, or we continue to say we're going to be part of their dictatorships and allow them to be oppressed by people and be perceived that America isn't about liberty abroad, but only about liberty at home, which I think is not what my family came to celebrate. So, you know, I really think that, yes, it's a difficult choice, but doing nothing is proof that we arm and we allow Hezbollah and others to threaten Israel, which is the greatest threat in the Middle East to them right now. And I think a better choice would be for us to help the rebels at least evolve. And as we see in Egypt, you know, the Brotherhood, when they win, will ultimately be defeated because most Muslims, most Christians and others in the area do not want Islamism. So, yes, first you defeat Assad, then and only then can you defeat Al-Qaeda and radical Islam.
I think it's a very good point. Syria, like Egypt, like Lebanon, where Hezbollah has never been able to get a full hold on because of the diversity that still remains inside the Muslim world and then in the other minority religious faiths and secular community as well. It's difficult decisions, but I think Dr. Jasser makes a very good case for why we can't just sit on the sidelines and say, well, it's Hezbollah versus Al-Qaeda. And we know that that's not 100% accurate. And the failure of these Islamist governments right off the bat, when we were responsible for in Egypt, for instance, for a rush to democracy without letting, you know, a year or two develop where political parties could come together and people could unite and formally do so without the fear of retribution. Dr. Jasser, as always, it's great to have you on the broadcast. Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it.